You are listening to Megiddo Radio. Megiddo Radio is a radio ministry of Megiddo Films. For more, visit our website at www.megiddofilms.org.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome. This is Paul Flynn with Megiddo Radio for the 5th of December, 2015. This week's show, I'm going to talk about something that I decided to do last week. Now, Megiddo Films, not Megiddo Radio. Megiddo Radio started in May 28th, 2011. So, Megiddo Radio is a little over 4 years old. Megiddo Films is, yeah, it's 5 years old. November 14th, 2010 was when I set up the YouTube channel. That's when the name began. And I remember with this whole video, and I think this whole radio show, and the title is why I decided to delete The Power Behind the New World Order. That was the first film that I released. And just to give you a little bit of background to it, I remember it was 5 years ago. And I was working on this film, The Power Behind the New World Order. And at the time, this was before MegiddoFilms.org existed. It was .com at the time. Actually, somebody stole. I stopped paying for the .com website and kind of, I can't remember what they're called. Anyway, website hackers or something. But before then, I had a website called, and it was a much more political activism angle to it. It was called RefuseResist.net, and I was around a month before I was converted, before the Lord saved me, I started a website called RefuseResist.net, and I just liked the title a lot. And you know, interestingly enough, actually it came from a song, a protest song, but I'll leave it at that. I think some people might know what it is. But I thought, okay, it worked. We were trying to refuse, resist political globalism and trying to go towards, you know, this whole push and this whole agenda, whatever you want to call it, to form, you know, the European Union, ever closer union with other nations, all that kind of thing, that, you know, we wanted to remain, you know, to retain national sovereignty, and we wanted to refuse and resist that. Now, there's buzzwords like the New World Order. The problem with that buzzword is it's kind of inadequate, because the New World Order, I could get into a lot of tangents before I even talked about the film of the New World Order. The term, don't get distracted by it. It's kind of a trying to destroy the old world and bring in a new, something new. And to be honest, lots of different groups who use the term, but it would be Alice Bailey and Lucius Trust, which is heavily linked to the United Nations, or whether you're just talking to your typical person in local radio and television who might use the term, it doesn't mean grand conspiracy. It just means bringing in something new and bringing something, you know, something else has been destroyed, the old world order, and we want to bring in something new. Now, to certain people, it doesn't mean global government, don't get me wrong. Anyway, so 5 years ago, I was working on this film. I didn't think the term or the name, I remember a few people emailed me saying they could actually see the connection between the song, and I wanted to have a Christian website. I was moving away from political activism at that point more and more and more. The website, RefuseResist.net, when it started, it was purely, especially, I started in March of 2009, RefuseResist.net, and I was involved in the truth movement, truther movement, whatever you want to call it, in Ireland, a little bit, not hugely. I mean, a bunch of us, we even started a newspaper called A Sovereign Independent. I'm no longer involved in that, and I kind of drifted away from that, because I had issues, you know, ideologically and everything else. And the problem was, I knew myself, you know, within a few months of, I got involved in political activism around the time I was saved, and I realized more and more about what was more important. you know, these little small, whether it be the Lisbon Treaty vote, which gave more and more power, kind of like the Maastricht Treaty, to the European Union, and I was dead against it. But you mean in the process of that, you're joining hands with all sorts of groups who do not love the Lord Jesus Christ. That's, you know, and as time went on, it grated on me. To be honest, I just had to kind of get out, and I just wanted to. Once the Lisbon Treaty vote was over, this is the second time they made Ireland vote on the Lisbon Treaty. For those of you not aware of European politics, there was one vote. Ireland voted no. They made Ireland vote again. I think it was it a year later or something like that. It's, but my memory of the whole encounter is a little bit fuzzy. And they repackaged the European Constitution, basically. And the Dutch said no, the French said no. And what they did was they repackaged it as another treaty, and then they got it through that means by parliamentary vote, except for Ireland. Ireland had to change its constitution in order to allow it to go through. And I don't think a lot of people were aware that the constitution was being changed. And through the Sovereign Independent I was involved with, we were trying to educate people and all this. Now, suffice to say, through that whole process, I kind of realized what was important, the Word of God. I wanted to spend time in the Word of God. I think we gave out like 500,000 copies of the newspaper back, and this was back in 2009. And I was dejected by it. You know, we lost the vote. Lots of different theories the way that was. And as soon as the vote was over, I pulled away immediately. And I was, you know, I wanted to work with, I still want to work with other people. I remember when I started MegiddoFilms.org, I still wanted to work with other people, but over the years I've set up rules of, I need to know you. People have contacted me over the years wanting to work with me. I need to know you personally. I can't just through, you know, you're another blogger, I'm another blogger, or you're on YouTube, I'm on YouTube. This is not real fellowship. I don't know how you interact. I don't, you know, if you're a father or whatever, I don't know how, are you a godly Christian? I have no idea about that. So, to be honest, I can't work with somebody through the internet and have no prior knowledge of who they are. At least I have to, maybe they're in a godly church or things like that. Sad thing about YouTube is, many people on other YouTube channels, and they'll even admit it at times, don't even go to church. They've almost kind of set up their own empire. You must be in church, or you're backsliding. There's no two ways about it. You need to be in the fellowship of the saints. There's no, you can't just like, oh, we're going to have our own thing. A couple of buddies are going to get together and we're going to pray or something. That is not church. You need to be under, there needs to be the administration of the sacraments. There needs to be biblical church discipline. And it needs to be the preaching of the gospel. That can only happen in a biblical church. So anyway, fast forwarding to a few months after that, I started the website MegiddoFilms.org. And basically, RefuseResist.net went away. And as soon as that happened, I set up a new website, deleted the old one. There was Christian content on there, but It was kind of poorly produced, and it was I can't even remember what was on that. There was a YouTube channel as well, and I actually can't even remember what was on there. But fast forwarding a bit, the first thing I uploaded was The Power Behind the New World Order. I put up a YouTube kind of a trailer of it, and there was a lot of interest, and of course there's a lot of interest in this kind of conspiracy stuff, and I want to talk about conspiracy, the dangers of it. I'm not saying research, I mean, well, I'll get into that in a little bit, but there's a way to approach it that we should take with anything we have interest in, you know, outside of the Word of God. We can't make an idol of it. So I released, I was working on this, I was coming out of political activism, and I had one desire, I had one desire, which was to make kind of a gospel tract to those people, and I was coming out of this whole thing. And that's what the power behind the New World Order was. It was a film to kind of show that this conspiracy, or whatever you want to call it, or this direction the world is going, is, and the people who are behind it, that it's a spiritual agenda, and that these people believe in Satan. It's not just a purely, I wanted to, and it was very human means I was using. I was quoting from all sorts of leaders in the whole so-called elite. And it's not a monolithic movement. It's a lot like, you know, crime families and things like that. And I'll get into what my vastly modified views of this have been over the years. And especially my views of Bible prophecy have drastically changed as well. But that wasn't kind of led into the reason why I deleted it. So it went up in the film, after a lot of interest, it went up on in March 2011. And I don't know how many times it's been seen on my channel. It has been seen. It had been seen. It's gone now. Nearly half a million times. And that was the full version of it. Another friend of mine had it on his channel. He actually deleted it as well, a brother in the Lord, and I really appreciate him doing that. He didn't have to do that, but I really appreciate him doing that. But we and him, we're kind of on the same page in a lot of these issues as well, so I think he'd probably agree with me on a lot of the things I'm probably going to say here. And that was seen on 87,000 times in his channel. On another channel, it was 200,000 times. So I don't know how many times it's been seen, but conservatively, maybe a million times. I don't know. Anyway, so it's been seen a lot. So I kind of wanted to do this show for those who would know me through that film and kind of go, well, why now have you removed it? I have, over the years, ever since I did that film, stumbled upon disturbing information about some of the people quoted in the film, be it Bill Cooper, be it Patrick Heron himself, who I interviewed, and I made a mistake there. And hell up. I read his book, and to be honest, I was a very young Christian. I interviewed him. I was saved about a year and a half, something like that. Look, Patrick Heron is a nice guy. Don't get me wrong. Now, for those of you not aware, Patrick Heron actually passed away. I think it was last year. I don't know. It was like he passed away. And I do believe he's a genuine Christian. And but he's not the guy I should have been interviewing for the film, if I'm being honest. He, at the time, I hope this changed since then. He said he wasn't going to a church. Now, me being very young in the Lord, didn't see a big, you know, as big of a problem as I should have seen. Now, I did encourage him to seek out a church and be involved in that. But the fact that I was interviewing him, I didn't push him too far. And also the content of his books, I don't recommend him at all. Seriously, I do not recommend him at all. Some of it's really in the Strangeville. And look, it would have been things I would have believed at one point a long time ago. He gave me a number of his books, a lot of them to do with very literal view of Revelation. Now, this isn't anything new, unique with him, but very, I don't want to get on, you know, his case or anything like that. I know a lot of people like him, but there was a lot of imbalance there. And I remember, I don't know how basically it was like, okay, I'm doing a film on the New World Order. He has written a book on the New World Order. He lives in Ireland. And I think I just jumped on a bus with a camera and that was it. There wasn't really much more thinking to it. And later on, I've kind of, his views have kind of, I don't agree with him on a lot, especially not now. So I don't recommend him. But I think that's the same with any film. And be it him or probably 90% of the people I quoted on that film, I don't agree with anymore. But that's not the reason I deleted the film. That's a secondary thing. I remember I was thinking, poof, some of these guys are, I don't even know if they're Christians or not. But the information that they were giving in the film was solid. So I was like, okay. Just because you quote somebody in a book, and this is the same with any author, any filmmaker, just because you quote somebody does not mean you endorse them. Now I put a disclaimer on the front of it, and I put a disclaimer on the front of my radio show as well. If I quote somebody, unless they actually say, oh, I endorse this person, I endorse probably about 10 ministries that I can think of off the top of my head. Trinitarian Bible Society, Breen Beacon, I was going to say Breen Call, I don't recommend Breen Call, with Richard Bennett. So, yeah, and they're at the bottom right-hand corner. I love the preaching of Jeff Pollard with Calvary Chapel, and he's on Zion. I mean, there's only a few. I love the preacher Joel Beakey. Don't agree with everything he says, but I would recommend him. But there's not that many. And I think we have to get to the point of realizing, I mean, you know, I did a critique there of Michael Brown, who is a charismatic. And I remember people, does he have spiritual discernment? I believe Michael Brown's brother in the Lord, as I believe Patrick Heron is. And on spiritual matters, I would not consult them for anything. Although, Michael Brown, from a journalistic point of view, from what I can see, I've only scanned through a lot of his stuff he's done, he's very good. You know, it's typical Warrenet Daily stuff. You have to be careful, but you kind of realize, you know, he's a good journalist, and from what I can see, I mean, okay, maybe people, they have a point, sent things out to me. But I digress. You know, I could quote from Dr. Jude Reisman on the whole issue of homosexuality. She's a secular Jew. She's not a Christian. You see, the thing is, by quoting somebody, you're not endorsing them at all. However, there was parts of the film where it might appear that I was, some of his books flashed across the screen and his website at one point. This is Patrick Heron I'm talking about now. So, but that by itself, that would not have made me pull down the film, to be honest. Because you always find things. I mean, Rabbi Zacharias is in the film as well, and he's a Christian apologist. And I've done a number of videos, shall we say, debunking and refute. He's very ecumenical. I didn't realize how he was at that. And I thought, he's one of the soundest, most orthodox people on that film. And I was like, no. So I think you can get so far, you know, that every time you find an error in somebody's quote, well, you destroy, you know, every manuscript and all that. No. So I think it'd be taking it too far. And just by quoting somebody does not mean an endorsement. However, I hadn't seen the film. Like, the film's been out nearly 5 years now. I haven't seen the film through. Sometimes, you know, every now and again, you go through your old works. If you're maybe a book author or anything like that, you might just go through. What did they write that a couple of years ago? And I remember an issue came up, and I said, okay, I'm going to look at this again. Somebody emailed me about an issue they had with it, and I disagreed with what they said. It was based on quotations and people who I was quoting, and I said, okay, I would not quote these people again. Wouldn't quote them again. That's not enough to take it down, though, although this person wasn't asking for that. Not sure what they were asking for, to be honest. And because I've prayed back and forth about it for years. Should I keep it? Because there was some of these people in it. But no, I said, you know, the information was solid. That's what I believed. But I remember going back over it again. And, okay, just to give you a synopsis on the film, right? The overall message, and this is the main reason I took it down. And I have a lot more peace about it, to be honest, now. Because I want the McGill Films, McGill Radio, and any other kind of McGill whatevers. There might be a few others that kind of pop up here and there. Maybe I might try and publish books in the future. Who knows? that they will be purely reformed and that the website will be, you know, the solid, the best stuff. And it won't be kind of stuff where I'm a bit, that's a bit awkward in places. The problem with it is the overall message is the New World Order, which is a buzz, you know, is made synonymous in the truther movement with a one world government. And look, it is for a lot of globalists as well. I know that. But not for everybody who uses the term. Some people use it in a very innocuous way. But that there's definitely going to be a world government in the future. And watching it again, I got this overriding sense of, if you watch this film, you would think, we are definitely in the last generation. Now, I'm still in contact with a lot of people who are dispensationalists, pre-trib, all this kind of stuff. I think that theology is, there's a lot of error in that. However, again, this would not cause me to, how would I put it, to change that. 2 seconds there. I'm just going to set up my recorder for the video part. Yeah, I have that now. And okay. Now, when you go through, I'm going to play some clips to explain what I'm talking about here. It's kind of a weird thing. It's actually, I was going to talk about this last week when I kind of had more, when I was like, at fresh from just having done it, and I knew why I did it, deleting the film, but not looking forward to it. It's kind of a weird thing to critique your own material, if I'm being honest. And but the problem with the film was, you see, me looking back and trying to remember back what I had put in the film was, I didn't have a huge problem with the opening part. You know, there's a desire for a one world everything. But here's the thing. That's not new. And I remember people are, I got a question, and it was a good question. It's a question that's popped around in my head many, many times. Will I do a kind of a rework of the movie? And you know what? There's a huge part of me that's tempted, but I realize I'm not going to do that. Mainly because the issue with this drive or this desire, and globalists write about it in their works and things like that, to create one world, whatever, economy, and there's that desire to do that. I don't believe this will succeed, by the way. I don't. Partially to do with my eschatology changing. And I realize, too, we don't know. There will always be wars and rumors of wars. People bring up wars and rumors of wars in Matthew 24. But there's always been wars and rumors of wars. At least, if not all of Matthew 24, but at least a large chunk of Matthew 24 is talking about 70 AD. Because you had the Pax Romanus. You had Roman peace in that time. Wars and rumors of wars has been there since the fall of Adam, and it's the consequence of sin. It's going to be there until the new heavens and, well, not new heavens and new earth, in the millennium, there will be peace between the nations, but there will also be a rebellion at the end of the millennium. Every eschatological position holds that, because that's in Revelation 20. And there was an overriding sense as well. There was three things that really bothered me and that made me remove it. And I just want to really summarize these so I don't lose my train of thought. We're definitely in the last generation. This really irked me. And I didn't remember. I definitely put that in. And that's dangerous to believe that. Here's the thing. Even when I was premillennial dispensational, I went through a period of time going, oh, we're definitely in the last, 10 years, whatever. And But eventually I was kind of like, no, every generation thinks this. Every generation thinks they're the last generation. Ever since Christ has been taken up into into glory, sits at the right hand of majesty on high. Every generation thinks this. And what do they have in common? They're all wrong. All of them wrong. I said, oh, maybe we're right. Yeah, you know what I mean? We don't know. And here's the thing. We don't know how long we'll live for. So we should never make speculation on how long between now and the end, or what's going to come next, or, you know, this thing in Revelation. The book of Revelation is not there as some crystal ball so we can get puffed up of how we know the future and can vainly speculate. The book of Revelation there, like all scripture, is, and I'll read 2 Timothy to remind people what scripture is there for and what the point of scripture is. And 2 Timothy chapter 3, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. It's there to encourage, to reprove us, to correct us, and for instruction in righteousness. All 66 books of the Bible are for that. But unfortunately, the book of Revelation has been by dispensationalists and cults and futurists and whatever else, and has been turned into a sci-fi book. That and Genesis chapter 6, but I won't get into that here. Has been turned into sci-fi because they don't follow the book's own rules, which says that these things are pictures, that these have been signified, that they're pictures, and you have to interpret by comparing scripture with scripture. My view of Revelation, and I'm probably not going to be, is that is undoubtedly historical going across time. Because Revelation chapter 12, verse 5, is talking about Christ, and it's an event in the past. This cannot be in the future. There's no way. I've dealt with that in other shows, how it deals with the persecution of the true church by the dragon of the Roman Catholic Church. That is Revelation chapter 12. And I also had another show called Revelation chapter 12, Why Futurism is Wrong. I am not, I'll be honest, Revelation is not a book I know as much as, I don't spend a ton of time, like, it's just as much as important as other parts of Scripture. I'm not saying, oh, I don't read it or anything like that, I don't study it. But when I don't understand it, I acknowledge I don't understand it and I move on. I read it, I make some notes, I pray about it. But realizing that some parts of Scripture, it takes longer to understand. But these are not... The book of Revelation is filled with the gospel of Jesus Christ. The book of Revelation, just like the rest of Scripture, is based upon the Word of God. And that He will be victorious in the end of time. That He will be victorious also in time. But the problem is, In the film, criticizing my own film, there was definitely a sense of, we're definitely in the last generation. I'm going to play some clips in a second. Two other things that in the book of Revelation, it talks about all these, you know, locusts and beings and things like that. And there was a clip of some of the interview with Patrick Heron. And I think I lent in this direction, not completely putting my hat on this view, and there's variations of it in futurism, how much they speculate and what will happen in the 7-year tribulation. I believe, well, tribulation is, you know, what's talking about Matthew 24, a large amount of it happened. I mean, there's two major views, and I think they're both very plausible. You know, those verses that sound like Christ returning is talking about the end of time. You're comparing the end, and with 70 AD, destruction of 70 AD being a type, this is something I definitely believe, is a type of the destruction of the end of the world. Okay? So, and it very much takes our eyes off Scripture. I do think that. And I thought the central message of the film was strong enough to carry it, despite its flaws, and the problem was it wasn't. And again, you know, it was promoted on a lot of conspiracy websites. Now, that doesn't mean anything. Guilt by association, we shouldn't get down that route. This person likes this, therefore it's terrible, or anything like that. But the problem was, we're definitely in the last generation. You're going to go through something dramatic. And that builds, and it builds, and it builds. In the first two sections of the film, right? And I'm just going to play some of the introduction, the first 3 minutes of the film. The introduction is an introduction to the whole idea. Different quotes about, they want, there's people in the world who want a one world government. They want one. There's the, you know, the Bohemian Grove in Northern California. And that the media has on and off over the years acknowledged that it actually exists. And that they actually go there. There's Bilderberg, which they denied for many, many years, that it's a meeting. We could speculate. And I think a lot of times what we end up with is with speculation. We shouldn't speculate about the future. From a journalistic point of view, I have no problem studying these things, but don't superimpose them on the Bible. Yes, evil is important to expose if you have that influence and you can expose it and you can bring crimes against people. For example, U.S. representatives are violating the Logan Act by being in attendance with the Bilderberg Group because of espionage and things like that. It's a secret meeting. They haven't told the populace, and there's a lot of underhand things. You know, but the problem is not this global agenda. This is a fruit of a more, I don't know, what do I call it, more basic, a problem, which is sin. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. It goes back to Genesis chapter 11, the Tower of Babel. Not that there's a direct link and there's a complete tie between Freemasons and all this other thing. But the fact of man, there's the seed of the serpent from Genesis 3:15, which is all those who are of their father, the devil, who are not converted, who do not believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and those who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, the seed of the woman, Genesis 3:15, the proto-evangelion. Now, that is the overriding theme of Scripture. Not that there's going to be weird things in the future. And it's kind of like sci-fi fans getting really excited about something that will happen in the future rather than the gospel being the central thing in this. Anyway, we'll play it, okay? This is the introduction. I don't have a huge problem with the introduction. Okay, I would change things if I was doing it again, of course. I don't have the second part, Luciferianism, talk about powerful people, Karl Marx, all that being writing about their Satanism at times. And I don't have a huge problem with that. I think it's superfluous now. Hopefully a lot older in the Lord and able to acknowledge that it's superfluous now. Because what I would acknowledge is Psalm... Oh, here we go. Psalm 14. This is what, okay, we can show this person's evil, all this kind of stuff. This is why this is happening. Yeah, they worship, some people openly worship the devil, Freemasons. And I think it's from a point of view to expose Freemasonry as a dangerous satanic cult. You can quote Albert Pike and show that he quotes that thing in Morals and Dogma, which says, Lucifer, he who bears the light, doubt it not. Or Helena Blavatsky, if you want to expose that the United Nations is satanic and is not a force for good, I think that is great. But where you get to the point of that we want to explain why there's such a... You know, the normal people of the world wouldn't want to rebel against the Lord, would they? They would. And they do. And they're outside of Christ. Psalm 14 says, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. They are all done abominable works. There is none that doeth good. The Lord looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that did understand and seek God. They were all gone aside. They were all together become filthy. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. No, not one, and none seeketh after God. None. This is all who are outside of Christ. This is what Reformed theologians call total depravity or radical depravity. Part of the doctrines of grace. That sums it up. All are under sin. All are under the wrath of God unless they believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, we could categorize and say this is abominable. And of course, if we know of evil and we don't report it to the authorities, the police, and anybody else, and it's wrong, we shouldn't remain silent. But we shouldn't become, we should realize that we should still submit to Caesar where it is possible scripturally. And where it is not, we refuse and say we will stand upon the word of God. We are not to try and be turning over the government. I'm not saying the people are doing that, but I'm just trying to get away from some of the excesses. There's conspiracy theory on one side, and then there's coincidence theory on the other side. Trying not to get in any extreme. Follow the evidence where it may lie, and not all the evidence. You know, number one, you don't have time to cover every single issue. If you're a researcher, hone in on what you're supposed to do. And the Word of God is so much more important than any speculations of men. We have to realize, but if we can prove something and there's a wickedness happening, if there's abuse of, say, in an institution of children or something like that, we say, well, it's always speculation. Well, we should report it. Bring evidence, hard evidence. We can't just make an accusation willy-nilly. Okay, this is the first 3 minutes of The Power Behind the New World Order. This is not on my channel anymore, but it's on other channels. I would appreciate it if people would remove it, to be honest. But people don't have to. I'm not going to get on people's cases. You can freely do if you want with it, but I just pray about it. And okay, this is the first 3 minutes.
Been an exposure of this Carnegie Endowment story and the Ford Foundation and the Guggenheim and the Rockefeller Foundation, all working in harmony toward the control of education in the United States.
And look, if you look at the screen, there's a H.G. Wells quote from his book, The New World Order. Countless people will hate the New World Order and will die protesting against it. Again, there's, in the truther movement, there is a desire to have one world government, and there's people for and against it. But they're looking from it from man's point of view, and they think it's almost inevitable that it will happen. Not everybody, of course, just, you know, this is very much kind of its own kind of genre and things like that. I don't believe this will be successful at all, to be honest. But the Lord is in complete control of all things. Our greatest emphasis needs to be the Word of God. I'm not saying we abandon journalism. I think journalism integrity should be encouraged. A lot of the information is still good in the movie. Does that make sense? You know, the quote from Carol Quigley about, you know, central banks and the way money's created and things like that, fine. You know, go research that. If you're going to cover that issue, document it. I don't really cover that issue anymore. I think I got bigger fish to fry. And I try to cover things that will deal with eternity, but it doesn't mean that these things aren't important. They're all important, but it's just on the case of which is more important than other things.
I believe, first of all, that we now need nothing short of a world constitution for the global financial system.
This is a global economic crisis.
And world leaders will often call for that because government is their savior, not God. And when you're trusting government to save the situation, usually atheistic regimes, they will go to government, and the government will get bigger and bigger and bigger, more totalitarian and more ugly. Again, the issue is sin.
All they're doing, country after country, is dumping money into the problem, and it's all falling on the taxpayers' back.
It is a move against truth.
Gonna skip it on a little bit there.
Including the time that Jesus walked the shores of Galilee.
Or what they want to make you actually say.
Okay, I'm just gonna play this clip, and this is kind of epitomizes. I thought, because I hadn't seen my own film, but I don't usually watch my own films again, ever, you know, unless it's, I'm showing it to somebody else. This is a quote by Chuck Missler, and this kind of theme builds from about an hour into it up until the end. And there's, I thought it was like tiny little elements of it, and I thought, okay, that would be okay. But it builds and it builds and it builds, and it leaves you with the undeniable sense of we're definitely in the last generation, and we're in a generation of, where it speaks about, I'll let Chuck Missler make the point.
I believe you and I are being plunged into a period of time about which the Bible says more than it does about any other period of time in history, including the time that Jesus walked the shores of Galilee.
So what do you end up doing if you believe that? Here's the danger, and this is the problem I had, and this is the biggest concern I had with leaving it on the internet and leaving it on my website. Okay, truth mixed with error is dangerous more than pure error all the way through. And I know people, look, I know people have gotten saved, people have actually told me this at least, and you pray that people have been saved. I know people, radio show hosts and people like that over the years have claimed to be saved, but I don't know, I don't have a huge amount of confidence in that, mainly because they haven't changed that much, and they seem to have gone back into the world. If the Lord Jesus Christ, if the Spirit of God is dwelling in you and you are a new creature in Christ, all things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. You will be a new creature. Read 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 to 11. Idolaters, thieves, drunkards, homosexuals, etc. and so on, will not inherit the kingdom of God. Be ye not deceived. So, and you could catalog all the stuff that I have in this film, but you could summarize it down to, when I got saved, right, and I wish I brought this forward to the film, but I didn't, I saw what saved me was the Spirit of God obviously working in my heart and convicting me and bringing me to my knees and bringing me to repentance, giving me repentance and faith to turn to Christ. But I saw the fact that Paul Flynn was just as wicked as the people I was protesting against. I was just as wicked. I was just as fallen. That sense of my sin, and I was bawling my eyes at 4 a.m. in the morning, crying out to God. I can't remember that. I think for like 20 minutes, I'm sorry. I am so sorry. And I think I said things like, I want to follow you. I want the true Jesus of the Bible. I was fed up with everything else. And the Lord brought me to the end of myself, and my thirst for alcohol and everything else and a lot of things just disappeared overnight. I struggled with other things, but it was a massive change straight away, especially in terms of my drinking. I was 4 nights a week drunk all the time before the Lord converted me. And I saw I was just as sinful. I was a wretch, just like those Satanists and globalists and all these people exposing here. Karl Marx, there's a book I was quoting in the movie Marx and Satan by Reverend Richard Wurmbrand, who was tortured by the communists back in, was it the early 1990s? And he uncovers a lot of really interesting things in his book Marx and Satan. And it makes for a really compelling case that it's not just, it's a very, I think if we read people, or even atheists, or Richard Dawkins, we know it's a spiritual battle. I mean, I was watching a vlog today, and a pastor made the point that on the vlog, and it was a great point, actually, that atheists don't spend their time battling leprechauns and trolls and other things. Why? Well, they don't exist and they know. But they have a conscience. And they hold the truth and righteousness, Romans 1:18. That's why they're fighting against God. And that's what Psalm 2 is talking about. It's talking about rebellion against the Lord. Not a specific reference to end it. It's, if you talk about a specific reference, it's talking about stuff that happened to David. But the spiritual truth and the way the kings of the earth, why did the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us break their bands asunder and cast their cords from us. Sin has not been done away. In Psalm 110, verse 1, it says, "Sit." The Lord said unto my Lord, sit down on my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool. And all the enemies will be conquered, including death at the end of time. And you might be still saying at the end of this, and I hope this is making sense, why did they take it down? You might be still saying, well, why did you take it down? Okay, there's going to be errors in every film. You're going to be left with the undeniable sense of, we're in the last generation, we need, as in you need to, not necessarily, it's a bad thing to study politics and study this kind of thing, if you have it in right balance. People tend not to have the right balance, though. But that you will start reading current events and foisting it upon the Bible. That's the temptation. It happened with the blood moons thing. Oh, we're not blood moons. Oh, look at Joel 2. We're not comparing scripture with scripture anymore. We're comparing scripture with current events. I just want to look at another thing as well. Again, these things by themselves are fairly common. Not that it's good or anything, that it's common. Let's see if I play it there. Now, fairly common, not that that makes it good or anything. It doesn't. It's sad. But I'm going to go through some fairly common held beliefs, right? About end times. We're definitely in the last generation. This is a section from Power Behind the New World Order. This is a minute in 12 minutes into it.
Giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. In 2 Peter chapter 2 we read, but there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. In 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 3 to 5 we read, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lusts, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. For this they were willingly ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old. But this is exactly how the Bible predicted the end times would be before the time of Jesus' return. A time when the word of God is not taken seriously. A time when scoffers and skeptics of the Bible are taken more seriously than people who know what the Bible actually says. Many Christians believe that it is a book to be taken as absolute truth before we continue in our study of the New World Order.
Again, incredibly weird to be reviewing my own film. Never thought I'd actually be doing this, but hey, here we are. The problem with this whole thing is that, we're definitely in the last generation. Why? Because, you know, the scoffers, it says in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 3, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lust and saying, where is the promise of his coming? So in the last days there shall be scoffers. Here's the thing, right? And just like the wars and rumors of wars of Matthew 24, are wars and rumors of wars unique to this time in history? Are you kidding me? No way. Now, the thing about it is there was the Pax Romanus. There's that Roman peace for a long time. And around 70 AD, there was wars and rumors of wars, which was unusual because when that was being written, there was peace around the Roman Empire. So there's nothing unique about that. Scoffers? Are you kidding me? You don't think people scoffed at the word of God? How about the Greeks in the book of Acts? The Stoics? There's been scoffers at the word of God since the Garden of Eden. I'm giving out to myself here. But myself 5 years ago. Now, so I was like, oh, they're scoffers, and there's Richard Dawkins, and these people are taking more seriously. They've always been taken more seriously. Go back to Voltaire. How seriously was he taken? If you go back to, again, if you go prior to Christ, and you look at the world, I mean, the church, the visible church, was the nation of Israel. It was pretty tiny. And if you go outside of the borders of Israel, you had heathen nations sacrificing their children, different things like that, who hated the word of God, despised it openly. So, prior to the Reformation, 1517, Rome declared and thought, in large part, that the gospel was dead. It was, the witness was tiny. And, I suppose that old adage, it's always darkest before the dawn, but I mean, this is not the worst point in human history. Try living during the Inquisition. Try living during the Crusades. And the Crusades were against Christians at times. Not just against the Muslims at times, but against the Albigensians, the Albigensian Crusade in the south of France. And they said, oh no, they were Manichaeans, they were heretics. They were dualists, Gnostics. And they made up all sorts of things, and they still make up all sorts of things against those Christians still to this very day. This is not unique, and this is my point. It's the accumulation of all this together. We're definitely in the last generation. The book of Revelation is definitely literal, or otherwise you're a liberal. I just want to deal with the book of Revelation, and it's probably the easiest one to deal with. I mean, Zechariah is the same. There's symbols in there. Book of Revelation, read the rules of the book. Revelation chapter 1, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things that must shortly come to pass. Now, shortly, we're told, doesn't mean shortly. If we're going to be taking everything literally, well, this would be a good word to take literally, would it not? Shortly come to pass. It doesn't say in a 7-year period or anything like that. That idea is foisted on the whole book. Who bear record, verse 2, of the word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ and of all things that he saw. Blessed is he that readeth, and that they hear the words of this prophecy and keep those things which are written therein, for the times at hand. Remember what Jesus said. That term at hand is really important. Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Does that mean it's thousands of years away? Does that make any sense whatsoever? No, for these events that are talked about in this book are at hand. When was this written? But by 90 AD, roughly 95 AD. The only way I believe that this book makes sense with the instructions that we're given to interpret it is that it's symbolic. There are symbols. We are told this. And let me look at it here. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants. Now, I remember looking at a Jehovah's Witness tract years ago. And I was a dispensationalist at the time. This was in Italy. And they had a slightly different view to us, which is scary. It was only slightly. And, by the way, this is not proof that dispensational is wrong. I have other proof that dispensational is wrong, but that'd be for another show. But I remember they had Daniel's image on the track. This is Jehovah's Witnesses, Watchtower Society in Italy. And they were doing a prophecy conference. And they believe that, just like, okay, a lot of this has happened already, so you've got Babylon, Medo-Persia, the Greek Empire, and Rome, the legs, they agree with that. And then the feet of miry clay and iron is the United States and Britain. Now, the only difference is, it depends which fundamental Baptist you talk to, they would agree or disagree. And I was thinking, they are so similar in a lot of ways when it comes to end times and revelation, things like that. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him and to show unto his servants. So I was scratching my head thinking, why would it be shown unto heretics who hate and blaspheme God in such a heretical way? It was enough to make me question my view, but, you know, it was over time, and little by little, the Word of God, and by the Spirit of God, I believe it was delivered from that. Now, again, there's nothing new with the idea of end times. Not there's any... So it talks about scoffers. You know, the person is going to probably... Sorry, I'm skipping around a lot of topics here, but I don't want to make it a two-hour show. Kind of want to get it in under an hour, if possible, and hope we finish up in the next 10 minutes. What does it mean in the last days there should be scoffers? What does it mean in it's the end times and all that? Well, there is an end times, but it's not the last generation. And you have to compare Scripture with Scripture, and you have to compare using other parts of Scripture. We're told, and this is the quickest way, I've done a show already called The Last Days or End Times, Biblically Defined. If you go, there's a playlist on the YouTube channel, on the McGill Films YouTube channel, which is called Reformed Eschatology. Maybe even if you type it into YouTube, it might come up. And it's about 17, 18 videos, something like that, on there. So, at the start of Hebrews, Paul the Apostle wrote, on the inspiration of the Spirit of God, God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets. So, in the past, he spoke by prophets, dreams, revelations, things like that, in various different ways. Verse number 2, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son. So the Lord in the past spoke in various different manners, in various different ways, and these last days, when it was Paul speaking in the first century, these last days, these were the last days spoken unto us by his Son. We're not to expect further revelation. How is he spoken? He has spoken. Who is the Word of God? Or who is the Son of God? He is the Word of God. We're told that in various parts of Scripture. So I'm just going to summarize the movie and some of the parts that, okay, I would have left alone, part one and part two. Fairly okay. Things I would not put in the film again, but fairly okay. The Rise of the Occult was good. Actually, I was part three is called The Rise of the Occult. And somebody might suggest maybe taking it apart and putting up different videos. What I might do is maybe take out the quotations that are good and make separate different videos. Maybe I'll do that, short ones. If the right time comes up, or maybe do a radio show refuting something, but hey, we'll see. So, the first section was the introduction, the second section was showing Luciferianism or Satanism from various influences in power and influence. Some secret societies, some people like Karl Marx and things like that. The rise of the occult, the influence of the New Age movement, things like that. But then again, it's not anything new. It's just repackaged occults from times past. Again, the New Age movement is not anything new. Whenever people reject God, it's not going to be just a vacuum and not going to believe anything. There's going to be demonic whatever's kind of going on. And I say whatever because... And it manifests in different ways, and it's a deception, and those people have been deceived, and we need to pray for them. and we need to give them the gospel, not some guy coming trying to exorcise them or grant deliverance or anything like that. There is deliverance in the Lord Jesus Christ and through faith in him and through faith in him alone. There's dangerous things as well with Russ Dizdar and the spiritual warfare movement. Lord willing, I'll get a chance to go through all that in another show at another time. But for today, we won't go into any of that. But there are problems with a lot of these people that I quoted. You don't want to just kind of, you don't want to swallow everything people say. How about we follow the collective wisdom of the church? Not following, I don't want to say we're following the traditions of men. Check everything as the word of God. But let's not just kind of try and reinvent the wheel all the time. The next part, you know, like from about... Another clip I wanted to play. This is another part that kind of really made me uncomfortable that it would remain on the website. This is kind of a section talking about, and this is the kind of worry that I have keeping it up, and this is one of the reasons I took it down, was this big accumulation that beings are going to come back, and that, like, they, all these people kind of twist, not intentionally, I don't think they're doing it intentionally, I think they think that that's what, I do believe that that's what they believe that the text actually teaches. You know, and it says, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the coming of the Son of Man. Whereas if you read that in context, it'll say, so it was in the days of Lot. You know, as in, life continues like normal. It's not talking about angelic beings or anything like that coming back. There's nothing like that in the context. Nothing like that. But again, Lord willing, a different show. Seriously, get good, reformed commentaries from the Puritans or whatever else in your home. If you're a new Christian, I don't have it in front of me here, and people like ask me, and you're a new Christian, what should I start off with? Excuse me. Get a copy of a Westminster Shorter Catechism. And most people are probably warning against that. Don't get that. Simple questions in there. What is the purpose of man? What is the first commandment? What's the second commandment? Taking you bit by bit and giving you scriptural verses for all of it. And go check out everything and get scripture. That's what people need to get, I think. People used to catechize at one point, but now that we're too good for that now, sadly. Okay, let's play this clip. This is 48 minutes and 50 seconds into the film.
Ever since the Garden of Eden, what is so interesting is this whole incredible plan is coming to its culmination at the present time.
Stan Monteith used to do kind of Liberty Radio. Nice man. Just again, that same belief that everything's coming to its culmination now, at this present time. This is what the book... And I want to be as far away from that view as possible. And this is Patrick Heron talking, the guy and the man who I interviewed for the film about 5 years ago.
One day the earth wakes up, the world wakes up, and all these things are going to appear again. We have it on the television. Why, you know, even the Vatican are telling us now that there are benign beings out there, but we're not to be afraid of them. They were created by the same God that created us. NASA is telling us they're trying to contact extraterrestrial beings. Everybody is at it. Most of the countries have opened up all their UFO secret files and are revealing to the world, yes, we see all these UFOs. So between UFOs, alien abductees, alien contacts, all the movies, TV programs and books that are prevalent today are all preparing subliminally. People don't even realize that, but they're being conditioned for the reappearance of these beings on earth in plain sight of man once again. As it was, so shall it be.
And he's quoting there from as it was, so shall it be, you know, Matthew 24, things like that, you know, that these beings will, and the thing is, people's imaginations run wild at that point. And it sounds exciting, and again, you wouldn't believe the amount of people who are, I don't mean to be ungracious towards people, they're sincere, but this is knowledge raised against the knowledge, this is something raised against the knowledge of the truth. Anything that gets away of the gospel. However, I don't think we should... We need to be balanced as well, how we approach these things. I'm always happy to work with people going in the right direction. Not the people who think they have all their ducks in a row. The church is in a very weak place today. If you were just saved and you just watched this movie or whatever and you still don't know what to think of it, or you're saved or whatever else it is, whatever else you do, get in the best church you can find in your area and be a blessing. Be at every service. Pray. You know, pray with brethren. Pray in your closet, in private, etc. and so on. There was one point, so he brings up, see, this is the thing, you know, this whole thing. If you're taking the book of Revelation literally, well, you're going to think that this is going to be all these, at one point, like, all of a sudden, all these beings are just going to turn up, and it's going to be, like, again, like a Hollywood film. And that's what the book of Revelation has been turned into. And if you watch the film all the way through, it builds and it builds and it builds until, and I'm just going to play this. This is a clip from some of the clips, right? This is in the media, right? There is, people want Ted Turner from CNN and all this kind of people. They want a one-world religion. They want to all have it on the one. But this is not anything new. It's not brand new at all. It's not unique to this generation. Are you kidding me? No. And it's sin. And it's people want to create the world, and they want to save the world. And because they don't trust in God, the state has become their God. I'm going to play this clip. This is from Ted Turner, but then there's going to be a clip of Chris White, who was quoted in the film as well. He was on his radio program as well after he released the film, but I'll comment on it after.
Freedom for other people, but...
Just for those who are listening on the radio show, this is two hours and 11 minutes. This is near the end of the film.
We thought we were they thought that we were the only ones going to heaven.
Supporters of a global religious voice have come down hard on evangelical Christians who refuse to adopt their New Age agenda.
Although the URI says it is not a religion, critics say it does preach a theology that teaches acceptance and diversity among all faiths. Those who push for a global religious organization believe that all religions, while different on the surface, are each valid pathways to God.
Oh, you're going to be united. There's no doubt about that. I'm suggesting to you that the things that are suggested in Zeitgeist is just a ghost of what's coming. It's only the beginnings of...
Here's the thing, right? Again, it's undeniable, I think, from anybody who studied the documentation, that people in the United Nations, Zeitgeist movement, all these other groups, the Venus Project, I think the only people who might know what I'm talking about are people who have done the research in this, but that they want to do this, but to say that it will definitely happen, no, they're not all-powerful, and no, Satan is not the god of this world. Satan is the god of the fallen world, but Jesus Christ is on his throne, and he's in complete control. If Satan is allowed to do anything, it is because God allows him to. Go to the book of Job, and you see that he could only afflict Job if God granted him permission. He was only allowed to do it. God is completely sovereign. Now, sure, there will be various things that happen. Look, and I know from studying it, they wanted world government. If you go back, only studied last since the 1950s, they wanted it decades ago. And they failed over and over and over again. We have to, the book of Revelation... Right, and there's one other thing I want to do after this. There's so many things, so many issues that this film brings up. Has been rendered into science. I mean, people do not think that... How would I put it? I'm going to find the reference here. They do not think that the woman... Or the beast, the seven-headed dragon is literal. That's literally come out of the water. Now, unfortunately, Heron had very literalistic views. And he's probably a bit more consistent than some were. But it was just the idea. This is definitely going to happen. They're definitely going to succeed with the world government. It's going to happen for a few years, and we got to be ready for it. No. God is completely sovereign. Okay, if we study economics and economics alone, you know, America is $17, $18 trillion in debt. The United Kingdom is in huge problems financially. Most countries around the world, if you study their actual national debt, the printing money, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, it appears that an economic crisis could come at any moment. Sure, it could. And it might not for another 20 years, or there might not, whatever. We don't know, is my short answer. The Lord is in control, and we might have a rough idea with, you know, the economy might go, the next war might happen, but do not think for a second that you can go and foist this on the Bible and get it to predict it, and you go on a website and you blog it, and then you have some huge following, and people are just doing this left, right, and center on the internet. And it is sad, and people just get wrapped up in it. And sadly, I just hope that people will view everything through Scripture and not just... See, when I did the film, the very air I breathed was, Revelation is definitely talking about a future seven-year period, and this was all definite to me. And this was taking it to its next logical conclusion. Okay, they're definitely going to succeed. Are they? This is adding, well, it's adding to the Word of God. Let's play it more.
...of a mindset that can only be possible after a huge amount of turmoil. The chaos that's going to ensue is going to be on such a level as to be able to bring in a vastly...
It's complete speculation. It's complete fiction. I mean, this is the... This among the other cliffs as well. We're coming in. We're definitely in that period. Something drastic's going to happen that's going to deceive everybody. I'm going to comment briefly on the strong delusion. This is the problem. This is why I pulled it. This is why I deleted it. If it said, if the movie was like this, okay, there's people in the world, they want a one world government, that's all true, they're influenced by satanic philosophies, and you need to turn to Christ, because that's the most important thing, and to understand the world around you, you need the Bible. To understand anything, if you're wrong about God, you're wrong about everything. If that's the way the film was put forward, fine. And people might say, okay, well, put out a re-edition or something like that. Problem is, I think there's a much quicker way. The doctrines of grace realize that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And go the same direction that men of old have gone. With, you study the Westminster Confession, the Confessions of Old. And if you look at the chapter, chapter by chapter by chapter, it wasn't like a big section for... You know, we've studied the Bible, we have the gospel, we move on. No, every chapter was about pretty much, not every single one, but pretty much they were all related to the gospel, different aspects of the gospel, justification, good works, etc. How they relate to each other, avoiding the errors of Romanism. That's what we must do.
Different system. One that will be a hyper-socialistic state that nobody will disagree with. How can that happen? How can that happen? It doesn't matter if the war was absolutely brutal. How can that happen?
War? What war? And I think he's probably talking... it's been a long time since I think he's talking about Gog and Magog. But I digress. Okay. We should really study proper biblical hermeneutics. And I'm not going to get into dispensationalism right here, or the problems with it, but if you go back, Reformed Eschatology, go to the playlist on the YouTube channel, McGill Films.
When the new world order comes, you will think it is a good idea. You will not believe.
Okay, so basically, and a lot of this comes around that, okay, their understanding of, a lot of people's understanding, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, it talks about in verse, what verse is it again? I'm going through this incredibly fast. Apologies for people if this is the first show you've ever listened to, but if there's other questions, megiddofilms@gmail.com, and I'll be very happy to go through individual issues, but I don't want to spend a long time explaining, why I took down the film. I think there's problems with, it's definitely the end, this is definitely going to happen, get ready. That's the problem I have, and that is going to get between people and the gospel. There was too much of a vibe through that, and when I saw that, because I hadn't seen my own film in a long time, I have no problem exposing corruption, political corruption, all that kind of stuff. Do it. Do proper diligent journalism. But when you're trying to get a kind of semi crystal ball out and say we're definitely last generation, the Bible doesn't teach that. And anyway, so talks about the Antichrist, which I've gone through in other shows, is the Roman papacy. Remember ye not, verse 5, that I was yet with you and I told you these things. Skipping on a little bit, verse 8, and then shall that wicked be revealed, that the Lord shall consume him with the spirit of his mouth and destroy the brightness of his coming, even him that is coming after the works of Satan with all power and lying signs and wonders, and all deceivableness and righteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth that they might be saved. For this cause God shall send them strong delusion. And there's a lot of speculation, because a lot of them are Arminians, and they're wondering, what is this strong delusion? That they should believe a lie. They don't believe in reprobation. What's that strong delusion? Very quickly, think of Pharaoh. God said he raised up Pharaoh to demonstrate his power. And it wasn't that Pharaoh once hardened his heart, God hardened his heart the other time. Pharaoh hardened his heart in rebellion against God, because he hated God and he would not bow down his knee to God. This is when Israel was coming out during the Exodus, around prior to Exodus chapter 20. And what happened? God judicially hardened Pharaoh's heart. It's only by the mercy and grace of God that any of us see anything in this book. The strong delusion, those who go after sin, those who do not love the truth, haven't been converted, haven't been regenerated in their hearts, will believe a lie, will believe falsehood. This has been changed into something dramatic is going to happen. And what does it become? It becomes science fiction. And the same thing with interpretations of Genesis 6, interpretations of this, interpretations of Revelation, that the Bible's whole theme of there's the seed of the serpent and the seed of the woman, and that the seed of the woman will have victory over the seed of the serpent. That is the overarching theme of the entire Bible. And apparently, all of a sudden, dropped in there is a Hollywood script. Again, I'm not trying to be facetious, but I'm just trying to make, I hope I'm making clear what my objectives with this is. I know other people who have been kind of going the same direction as me for a long time, have been kind of like emailing me and say, I've been saying the same thing you have, and they've spent time studying the theologians and studying the Word of God, and that they've come to a better understanding of the Word of God, and they're not spending all their time, listening to, Chris White or Russ Dizdar or anybody else, or Alex Jones. And again, I am not saying hide yourself in the world. We are to be salt and light in this world, to resist, to obey God, not to obey man. If it contradicts, you know, the state is saying for us to do something evil, we say no. However, let us not have to, in response to that, try to vainly speculate what the future is and say we're definitely in the last generation. That is one of the oldest errors in the book. It's so easy to make. I've made it myself, brethren. I am not coming from a position where I have not made this mistake. I have failed in many areas in my life. And I just pray that my failures have not caused anybody listening to the show to stumble. And I just pray, keep me in your prayers, brethren, that this show will not be a stumbling block, will not be somebody's excuse not to attend church, will not be something that will cause them to, you know, think they're experts and whatever else when they're not, but that it will be an encouragement to you or anybody else who listens, that you may be a blessing in the church, that you may depend more upon God, and that we may grow in the grace of the knowledge of the truth. May God bless you all. Talk to you again next week.